Greetings this morning in Christ's name. Good to see each of you here this morning. But to extend a welcome to each of you. Trust that we can continue as we look into God's Word, that we would worship Him as He would desire us to this morning. In 1965, a 17-year-old young man by the name of Randy Gardner set the world record of going without sleep for the longest period of time. He was doing this for a science project. He went without sleep for 264 hours. How many of you young men think you could do that? I believe that's around 11 days, 11 24-hour periods there. On June 22, and by the way, he did live through it, and after that for a time. On June 22, 2012, a young 26-year-old Chinese man died after he went 11 days without sleep. However, the reason they say that he died was because during this time, to help stay awake, I gathered that he was almost continually smoking and drinking. And they say that it was because of that combination, that he died. From what I was able to find, there are no known deaths that are directly attributed to the lack of sleep, other than falling asleep behind the wheel and things like that. But no one has died simply from going without sleep day after day after day, simply because of that. However, there have been some tests that have been done on animals. One of the animals that this test was particularly carried out on was rats, and there are a few other animals that I heard about as well that I read. Those tests showed that after 2 weeks of no sleep, particularly with these rats, was that they started dying. Well, what do I want to talk about this morning? I want to talk about rest. Maybe do somewhat of a word study, Brother Allen started out with. I'm not going to talk much about physical rest, even though possibly it would be beneficial for us to do that. There are probably a number of us that could use some encouragement on going to sleep on time, going to sleep when we should, and waking up then when we should as well. Simply getting our rest. You know, it's pretty easy to go without rest, go without sleep late into the night, and then the next morning you just drag around and you can hardly do anything and hardly get out of bed. Probably a good share of us know what that's like. We've experienced that for some reason or another. I don't know how you find it, but somehow it seems like the older we get, the more important rest becomes. Our bodies wear out. We get tired quicker. And I don't know, it just seems like I need more rest than what I used to at a point in my life. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. This morning I want to direct our thoughts to a rest that is much more important than a physical rest. Without this spiritual rest, there will very quickly be spiritual death. In this portion of Scripture, verses 1 through 13, the word rest, we'll see that word numerous times. It's mentioned quite a number of different times. However, they do not all have the same meaning. And it was very interesting to me to study this. In the Greek, there are three different words used in this portion that all were translated to the word rest that we have, that we know in the English language today. I will not try to pronounce these Greek words. I would do damage to them, I'm sure, but want to talk some about them. So Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Let's read these verses. Verse 1, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." This here in verse 3 is a quote taken from Psalm 95, verse 11, and it's also quoted here in chapter 3, verses 11 and 18, here in Hebrews as well. I believe in every one of these verses, though it says, "I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest." So I'm not quite sure why it's translated here in verse 3, "if they shall enter into my rest." There's a little bit of a difference there, but it's again referring back to a quote in these other verses. Verse 4, "For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was preached, to whom it was first preached, entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, Today, after so long a time, as it is said, Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Okay, the first word here, the first word, rest, is found in verse 1, where it says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest." Here the word rest means an abode. In other words, the place we rest. Kind of like what we call our home, the place we go, where we stay, a dwelling. That is what the word rest means here. "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his abiding in him," we could say. "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them." He is using the example of the children of Israel when they were going through the desert. They had no dwelling place. They had no place to call their own. They were wandering through the desert day after day after day, year after year. They had no dwelling place. And the thing that is being brought out here is, let's fear lest we get to that point. The point of having unbelief in our hearts. If we have unbelief in our life, then we are at that point. We have no dwelling place. We have no place to call our own because we have no place to go. It would be like wandering in a desert day after day. And so we have no rest. The way rest is translated here is found 8 times in these two chapters, chapter chapter 3 and chapter 4. But Hebrews chapter 3 here, verse 11, says, "So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." In other words, they shall not abide in me. They will not have their abode in me. Verse 18, we have the same thought. Then chapter 4, the verses that we read, verse 1, verse 3, verse 5, verse 10, and verse 11. If you take the time and look at that, you will find that in those verses, the word rest is all translated in this way, an abode, the place we rest. It is always translated rest in the New Testament. There's no other place that it is found. Excuse me, there is one other place that it is found with this translation, and that's in Acts 7, verse 49, and that is talking about God's dwelling place. And so, as we think about that, my mind went to John chapter 15, where Jesus gave the invitation to abide in him, to dwell in him, to make our abode in Christ, in Jesus Christ, to live in him. And we believe his promise. We accept the provision that he made on the cross and continue in him. Now, I want to be open in this thought, but to me, he is saying here in chapter 4, the rest that he's talking about, or the abode that he is talking about, is the abode that we find in Jesus Christ as we accept him, as we give our life to him, our heart. And as we do that, we are released from the sin, the sinful nature that we were born with. And so, because of that, because we have now made our abode with him, we are at rest and peace in our life because we have accepted him. Now, does that mean the battle is over? Does that mean that there is no battle when we are at rest? Well, I'm sure we recognize that that is not the case. Certainly, the battle of life isn't over, nor is the struggle to win the fight. But we have the Lord Jesus by our side to help and to give us peace and victory in our struggle. Like I mentioned earlier, that the example is taken from the children of Israel when they were wandering. They went from Egypt to Canaan, and after they crossed the Jordan River, they came into this promised land. They came into the land that God had promised to Abraham, that he would give his descendants forever. Now, when they came into the promised land, so here they finally were. They came into the promised land. They, in a sense, victory was there. They had reached the promised land, the land that God had promised it to them. When they got there, was the battle over? Or did they have a battle to fight? Well, we know the answer to that. Absolutely, they certainly did have a battle to fight. They couldn't come in and say, "Wow, we're in the promised land now, and we're going to eat all these grapes and figs and pomegranates, and we're just going to settle down and take it easy." We know that's not the case. That is not what they did. They had to drive out their enemies. They had to fight for the land. They had to give it their all. They had to give their life into conquering. They had a long fight ahead of them. Well, I believe we can liken that to the battle that we face today. That is the way we are. That is the way it is for us today. When we come into the rest, when we come into abiding into the abode of Jesus Christ, we abide in him. But guess what? The battle's not over. The fight is not over. There is an ongoing fight to win the war. I'm sure we would all recognize that. We understand that. Those children of Israel didn't come into the promised land and say, "We are just going to rest now. We're just going to, well, after 40 long years, we walked and walked and walked and walked some more, And from one place to another, and all we did was walk and walk. We have sand in our eyes, we have sand on our feet, and now we're just going to stay put and enjoy ourselves. If they would have, the inhabitants of the land would have overtaken them. You know, we have heard many times the story told of the struggles that they faced. We read it in Scripture, the battles they fought, the temptations they had, the fears that they faced. But the promised land was their home as long as they followed God's direction. This morning, do you get the picture? You get the picture of where we're going with this. Today, we face struggles. Battles need to be fought. Temptations come our way. Those things need to be won. But we can rest. We can rest as we make our abode with Christ. The promised land is ours as we follow God's directions. As we abide with Him on a daily basis, as we communicate with Him, have a relationship with Him. We know how it was for the children of Israel when they forgot God, when they turned to idols. Things happen. The battles weren't won. Some lessons that we can learn. Okay, the next word, rest, as it's used here, means to settle down, cause to desist. In other words, to cease from. That word is found in chapter 4, verse 4, where he says, "For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works." Verse 8, "For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day?" Verse 10, "For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his." We quit trying to please God on our own strength, but find rest in Jesus' blood and sacrifice. So, did Jesus rest from his works on the seventh day because he was tired? Or because, he had to rest? No, I don't think so. He rested because he was done. He rested because everything was complete. He ceased from his work because everything was perfect. He said that it was very good. So he rested. He ceased from his work. All right, that is another meaning of the word rest. Now the third word translated rest here is in verse 9, where it says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." The word rest here is a type of heaven. It means the repose of Christianity as a type of heaven. Rest. And this is the only place, as near as I could find, this is the only place in the New Testament that the word rest is used in that way. The eternal rest. "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." God has promised us an eternal home to live forever with Him in eternity. Let's turn to John chapter 14. Turn to a few scriptures here. John chapter 14, we have some familiar verses. Verse 3, talking about the eternal home God has promised us. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We have this promise. These are the words of Jesus, promising that he is preparing a place for his people, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now let's turn over to Revelation chapter 7. Read a number of verses here. Revelation chapter 7. We'll read verses 14 through 17. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. This was John speaking to the angel, and he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. All right, so we have three different kinds of rest here that we have looked at so far. The first one was abiding in Christ. The second one, to settle down or cease. The third one is our eternal home. There's one more verse there, one more portion of scripture that I wanted to read in reference to God coming back to for his children. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I wanted to read some verses here about the promise of eternal rest for the child of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So there is a promise of eternal rest for the child of God. So, again, we've looked at three different kinds of rest. Number one, abiding in Christ. Second one is to settle down or cease from. The third one is referring to our eternal home. Now, there's one more rest that I would like to look at and talk a bit about, that we find in Matthew chapter 11. Let's turn to that. And this is yet a different meaning, a different Greek meaning than the ones that we have looked at. Matthew chapter 11. The last three verses, these are Jesus' words, verses 28, 29, and 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This morning, I don't know what struggles are all being faced. I don't know what struggles you are facing, or how you're finding your way in these struggles, but Jesus has promised to give us rest. And this rest that it talks about here means to give us peace and contentment in the midst of struggle. That's the meaning here of this word rest. Finding peace and contentment in the midst of the struggles, in the midst of the trials that we face. What do we do when there are struggles? And you can name them. What do we do when we face those struggles? Maybe it is husband-wife relationships. Maybe it's parent-child relationships. Maybe it's brother to brother, sister to sister, friend to friend. You name it. Struggles that we face. What do we do when those struggles come? Well, I don't profess to have all the answers in this, but I can tell you, bring it to Jesus. That's what he's saying here. Bring it to Jesus. Pray. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It is in Jesus Christ that we find rest. It's very clear here, very clear words. It's in Jesus Christ that we find contentment and courage to go on. You know, there are times that we worry, far too many times probably. We worry about what will happen in the future. Maybe we worry about our families, our children. What will happen to them when they are grown? Where will they end up? Look at what is happening to so many families. Many are losing out. Many are not standing on the principles of what they used to. We can look at our families that, you know, behind us or wherever, and we see where that has been the case at times. Many are losing out. Many are not standing on the principles of God's word that maybe they used to, and we may worry, what is that going to happen to us? How can we keep that from happening? Is that going to happen to our children? Will we be able to meet God with a clean heart? Maybe we worry about our church. What is going to become of it? Maybe we worry about our job. Maybe we worry about our health. Maybe we worry about, you name it. Maybe worry isn't the right word here. I'm not sure. Maybe concerned would be a better way of putting it. But this morning we can find rest. We can find contentment and rest in these things as we give it to Jesus Christ. It is the only way. Jesus said again, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, heavy burdened in your heart. Give it to me. And if you do that, as you do that, I will give you rest. Just follow me as I give you direction, and I will give you rest." You will find rest in Christ, along with the troubles and trials that we face in life. There's the thing of forgiveness. We struggle and struggle with forgiveness at times. Well, Jesus says, to bring it to me, and I will give you rest. This life is full of struggles. It's full of sorrow and sadness. I don't want to paint just a dark picture, but we have a reality to face. We probably all have dealt with death in some way or another. We've been to funerals where a family member, a relative, or a friend was laid to rest. And separation brought sadness. Well, Jesus said, bring those things to me and I will give you rest. I don't believe we can overemphasize that enough. Disappointments. Life is full of disappointments. Disappointments in whatever. Disappointments in our job. Some of the same things that we mentioned already. Disappointments. Maybe there's disappointment in marriage relationships. Maybe there's disappointments in family life. Maybe there are disappointments in church relationships. Sometimes there's disappointments in the products that we buy. At times, we are disappointed in our lack of commitment to or in our relationship with the Lord. Well, again, Jesus has said, you who are heavy laden, bring those burdens to me and I will give you rest. Temptations. We are bombarded daily with evil temptations every day. Sometimes we fall. Maybe we desire victory so much, and yet there seems to be no power to overcome. This morning, bring it to Christ. Bring it to Christ, and He will bring you rest. Maybe there are temptations to snap at our children when we're tired and under stress. Maybe we're under financial stress. Maybe it is stress from something else. Bring it to Christ. Maybe there is a temptation to throw the whole Christianity thing right out the window. I have talked personally to individuals where that has been the case. Those temptations are real. Temptations come to us day after day. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Follow me. Be yoked together with Jesus Christ." Dear ones, that's the only way that we can make it, is to be yoked together with Jesus. Follow him and learn of him. What does he say? "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Revelation chapter 6. Revelation 6, verses 9 through 11. May not directly apply to some of this, and yet it does. Verse 9, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they shall rest, that they should rest yet a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." The thought I wanted here was that we commit it to God. God is going to take care of it. God will take care of our life if we but give it to him. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. You don't need to turn to this. It says, "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." In closing, I'd like to read yet from Proverbs chapter 3. You can turn with me there if you'd like. It's familiar verses. We probably know them by heart. Just some closing verses I'd like to give you. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." Don't take things into your own hands. I'm speaking to myself as much as to anyone. Don't take things into your own hands and try to work out these problems that you are not called to work out. Don't take them into your own hands and try to make things happen, because more than likely, pieces will fly. But give it to God. Give it to Christ. He says that he will give you rest, and he will take care of that. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." If we have stresses and troubles, if we have things in life that bother us, if we are in the position where we have done what we can, then let's rest in Christ and allow him to work and move as he desires, as he wills. Let's kneel for prayer.